Appreciate it. Thank you. God bless. Everybody that loves the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
Take your Bibles. Go to the book of Joshua. Last night, we're going to pick up where we sort of left off. Abraham was a man that God brought out. Isaac was a man that God brought up.
Yes, sir.
Eliezer was a man that God brought to. We didn't really deal with Moses and Aaron, but Moses was a man that God brought through.
Yes, sir.
And Aaron was a man that God brought in.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Oh, bless the Lord. Brought him into that holy of holies. But we ended last night commenting for just 10 seconds on Joshua. He's a man that God brought over.
Yes, sir.
Right. I sure want to cross over when it's time.
Amen.
So in the book of Joshua, now the reason they brought this high chair up here is because when I get to eating, I get sloppy and just throw it everywhere. And they're going to get me a bib and a little thing. I've had trouble with my feet a little bit, and I'd love to tell y'all about it. Somebody said, oh, I can't complain. I said, give me your 10 minutes. I've never tried to play the true brave soldier. I'm a big baby. And when my feet get better, the doctor said they'll get better. He squeezed them till they hurt, and he said, you got good circulation. You'll be all right. I said, don't tell my wife. She's being nice to me a little bit now. Don't tell her. I've got a wonderful wife, and I'm only teasing. We're live streaming, aren't we? See, I have to say these things. That's funny. But, yeah, I like to. I've been an evangelist 26 years, pastored 7 plus years. And raised in a pastor's home. So at this point, I've earned the right to complain the rest of the way to heaven. We've had several decades of Baptists that we put up with. I'm only teasing. I don't have any bitter stories. All of God's people have been good to me.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And if anybody ever wasn't good to me, you're probably not God's people. We're live streaming, ain't we? That was very good. You know who you are. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, my. No, that's the truth. Growing up, God's people were good to our family.
Amen.
There were 2 or 3 rascals along the way, but God's people were good to us.
Amen.
And in the years I pastored, from age 21 to age 29, God's people were good to me. In these 26 years, that's not a long time if you're old. If you're young, that's dinosaur material. But these 26 years of evangelism, God's people have fed us and clothed us and treated us like kings and rolled out a red carpet, and they never did deserve it. They do it. And that's the truth. Have there been moments of persecution and abuse and mistreatment? Why, sure. But we Americans are such spoiled brats, we wouldn't know real persecution if it ever...
Right.
Amen. Somebody said they're making fun of you on the internet. Oh, wow, ouchie. I'm sorry, I done read the Fox's Book of Martyrs.
Right.
When they put the babies on the end of spears, Christian babies, and lit them up with tar.
Right.
and unspeakable things to the wife while the men then were slaughtered. I've stood in the Roman Colosseum. Amen. I've heard from the Chinese communist Christians coming out of 35 years of a torture prison. You're going to have to do a little something more than try to smear me for 30 seconds.
Amen.
I need a little help.
Amen.
That's for all the overgrown American babies that wear your feelings on your shoulders. Bless the Lord. I can't believe she sang my song. They know that's my parking spot. Oh, wow. How large your crown will be in heaven for the things you've endured. Oh, real Christians are undergoing persecution.
Sure.
Even in America.
Sure.
And if it ain't physical, it's mental and spiritual. All they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But it ain't these little low hurt feelings we're talking about.
Sure.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
God's people have been good to me, and I thank the Lord for it. I'm looking forward to fellowshipping with y'all in the millennial reign.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I got a bucket list. I don't know if I'll think of it on the other side, but if we do, I've got a bucket list. I want to ask Mary what Jesus' first words were. I want to ask Moses what it was like to go without bread and water for 40 days, standing there in the midst of God's essence. I want to ask Daniel, what in the world did he mean with all that math, and could he not have been a little more clear?
Yeah.
I want to ask that Peter, you know, about his cussing problem. That is, like you cussing on one page and preaching Pentecost on the next. Could you show me how that worked? It's too late now, but I wish I could figure it out. There's some days I need a good cussing spell. Nothing vulgar. Nothing abominable. Just good farm language, you know, a little stress release. Brother Lawson refuses to approve this party. Just look at him. Look at him. Amen. I got me a bucket list in glory. And I want a fellowship with Timothy and Titus. What was it like being the great apostles' preacher boys?
Sure, yeah.
Amen. I want to ask my grandpa a few questions. I had a preaching papaw. He left this world before I could talk to him enough. I want to talk to him. I want to get with all the folks that we suffered together and we served together. I just want to take 100 years and stroll on the river and shout in glorified voices.
Amen.
I'm going to join the Lancaster group on the other side. I'm going to sing high tenor and deep bass in the same verse. Glorified verse. Glorified voices. And sister won't even have to purr. We'll have perfect pitch.
Amen.
Going to be something on the other side, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
I don't hear any preachers or Christians discussing the millennial reign like it's a matter of fact and it's fixing to be.
Sure.
Yeah, you're right.
That's not a rebuke. I just don't.
Right.
I don't hear anybody talking about the... Y'all understand?
Yeah.
We got a 1,000-year vacation with God coming up in glorified body. Y'all don't believe that?
Yeah.
Obviously, nobody believe. I don't hear nobody having a conversation about it.
Yeah.
I really don't. I'm not trying to sound spiritual. I just don't. And maybe if I hung around you longer, you talk about it. But I just don't hear it. And it's a reality.
Amen.
Amen. I got questions for the Lord. I got questions for old John. John the Revelator.
Sure.
Old John. The only preacher that showed up at Calvary.
Right.
He's the only preacher that saw Calvary. I was listening to Dr. James Crumpton today, an old Mississippi preacher, great man of God, years gone by. I was listening to him today, and he said, he's asked many a preacher, if you could travel in time and go back to one event in Jesus' life, which event would you go visit? Would you like to be there when he walked on the water? Would you like to be there when he was a babe in a manger? Which event? And Brother Crumpton said, he said, I would, a lot of them I'd like to visit those moments. Would you like to have been there when he prayed in the garden and heard all of that? How about when he rose a great early in the morning before, a great while before day, and he prayed? Would you like to be a fly on that wall in an olive garden? Yeah. What in the world would the Son of God say to his Father? Yeah. For a long time. Yeah. But Brother Crumpton said, I'd like to go back to Calvary.
Yeah.
Yeah. And stand there and watch it. Amen. And then if you could have eyes that could see into that darkness.
Sure.
Nobody saw that.
Right.
So I want to talk to John in that millennial reign. Amen. I also hope there's barbecue pork and a Chinese buffet over on the other side. Putting my request in. I've asked the Lord, I'd like a Chinese buffet 2 miles long. Amen. No MSG sprinkled over it. No Chinese communists slipping a little COVID in there on me. Hallelujah. I ain't going to give up on it. If they give it to me, I'll take it. It'll be worth the buffet. Stayed in a Chinese motel the other day. Yeah, and 2 hours later, I was sleepy again. They'd sprinkled it on the motel, I guess. Are y'all in Joshua? I can't apologize for my personality. I can't even explain it. So there you are. Joshua chapter 1. Let's pray and sanctify this, okay? Oh, Lord, thank you for Calvary. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for help from another world. Thank you, Lord, for these combined services tonight that soon will be a reality of a glorious merge and a marriage. Lord, we love you and thank you for it. Now, Father, bless tonight and have your way in our hearts. Lord, indeed, have your way in our personal hearts tonight. That's where you're setting up your kingdom in this hour. And in that millennial reign, you'll set up your kingdom on earth. Now, Lord, breathe for a little while in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. And all the Lord's people said, amen. Thank the Lord. Brother Hutto, you and the folks from Joel, and Brother Lawson, you and the folks from Beacon and the Lord. And I've just heard little bits and pieces of what the Lord's doing. So wonderful and glorious. And I lie not to you. The Lord's put this message on my heart for all of y'all in these special days that these two becoming one. The Lord's laid this on my heart. And I didn't plan it. It just ended with Joshua last night. And God laid this old study on my heart. Book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 1. And he was a man that God brought over. And he made the crossing. Amen. Let me tell you, the greatest thing you'll ever do is cooperate with God when he's killing old things and birthing new things. I need a little more help than that. So I'm going to say it again. The greatest thing you'll ever learn to do is cooperate with the God who said there's a season for everything.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Ecclesiastes 3. The time to be born, a time to be buried. There's a time to kill, there's a time to live. And those 14 phrases in Ecclesiastes 3. There's a season and a purpose to everything. And the Lord's put this in my heart tonight, crossing over to the other side. And I want to say, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Woo! 10 things tonight. Y'all know I can't even say one thing in an hour. What are y'all gonna do? I guess we're all going to breakfast together. Amen. What's that place? Eggs grilled up or eggs made happy? What is it? I like my names better than I said. Amen. We're all going to breakfast together. Amen. If you doze off, if you look real comfortable, we'll leave you there and we'll wake you up when it's breakfast time. 10-hour sermon coming your way. I'm going to see if I can give these things. How about this? 3 minutes each on each point. Somebody can even put a timer on it. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? I don't mind you messing with me. It's a little dangerous, but I mean, enter at your own risk. I haven't yet fully discovered all of my mental disorders. You don't want them coming out. But I don't mind if a young person could put this on a timer and see if I get anywhere close to it. And I got some new little buddies in here, and they have repented of the fact that Stacy Piercy used to be their favorite evangelist. They've repented and moved on in their life, and they now have a new favorite evangelist. Of course, they didn't say that. I said that, but I feel like it's coming, you know. And we really hope Brother Piercy's watching this somehow. We really hope he is. We love Brother Piercy. And that was for the camera. 10 things. Number one, when it's time to cross over. See if we can give these 3 minutes each. When it's time to cross over. Number one, don't let the weeping stop you. Look in chapter 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And I want to say to you tonight, don't let the weeping of grief and mourning for things that once were, don't let that stop you when Moses dies and God buries him somewhere and the Lord raises up Joshua and the Lord said, we're not going to do that no more. We're going to do this now. Don't get stuck in a mourning phase and don't let the weeping stop you. That would have been a good place to say amen in case y'all need coaching. So don't let the weeping stop you.
Amen.
Amen. So Isaac was between at Genesis 24. He buried his mother, Sarah. And he had yet to receive his wife, Rebekah. And he dwelt down there in the south land, Lahori. And he dwelt by the well. There will be times in your life when God's buried your mother, but it's time for your bride. And one woman loved you as a mother, and the next woman's going to love you as a wife. And brother, there's times when you're in between, and you better trust the Lord with what he's buried, and you better trust the Lord with what he's bringing.
Amen.
Oh, the best thing you'll ever do is trust him. Don't get hung up weeping over what was. Beautiful picture here. Moses is a type of the law, and Jesus is a type of the Savior. What about that? The law can only bring you to, amen, the death, burial, and resurrection, the Jordan baptism. But Joshua can bring you on into the promised land. And the law couldn't save you. It could just bring you to the cross. Joshua and Jesus, both Hebrew version, Greek version, they both mean Jehovah saves. Joshua, do your own word study. Jesus, they both mean Jehovah saves. I nearly ran out in your parking lot and shouted, I'm glad Jesus. Jesus saves. Amen. You better learn to go with God. I have to take time out, and whatever kid's timing me, I'm going to mess up here. A young preacher went to a great conference, and he wrote down, I used to do this, he wrote down all the jokes. Becca. But and I need to write this down because I want to tell this again. It ain't spiritual, but it's funny. Young man went to the conference, and one of them preachers stood up, and he told a great little opening humor. And he said, folks, I spent the best years of my life in the arms of another woman besides my wife. And he said, it was my mother. And so the young preacher went back home to his church, and on Sunday morning, he said, I'm going to tell that joke. But he forgot it. He stood up and said, folks, I spent the best years of my life in the arms of another woman besides my wife. And he forgot the line, and he said, for the life of me, I can't remember who that woman was. That did not work out well for that boy. That may have been about the time he found his second church. Oh, my. But I looked at that when I got to get on my 3-minute business here. I feel like I ain't doing good. When I left my church and I moved my wife to a single wide trailer, and it was, that trailer was from the 70s, and it was so narrow. It was long enough to go bowling in, but you couldn't fall either way without falling. My aunt had it, and she said, Dean, you can stay here while you're in between. And stayed in that little trailer 18 months, going from my church to my evangelism ministry. And that's when God gave me that. Isaac, he just dwelt by the well. He'd buried his mother and waiting on his wife. Yep. And I got news for you. You're going to, and Sarah's a type of Israel.
Yes, sir.
And Rebecca's a type of the church. Amen. That's good stuff.
Amen.
But you better learn. Don't get hung up in the past. Ezra chapter 3, verse 12. Said the young men shouted while the old men wept. I heard Jack Hiles preach on that. I heard Percy Ray preach on that. I heard Ron Garris preach on that. And them old men had seen the original temple in all of its glory. But these young men were now commissioned after the captivity to go and rebuild the temple. And I want to tell y'all something. Don't get so hung up on the glorious past that you're not able to go into the glorious future. Don't let the weeping stop you. Number two, y'all got to hurry. Don't, no more jokes, y'all. Y'all behave. We got to move on here. Don't let the worry stop you. By the way, this is not just for y'all going to the next chapter. This is for every Christian that wants to move over into Canaan. For every child of God that needs to learn to come out of the wilderness of rebellion, disobedience, carnality, wasted life, and you want to move into the life of victory and conquering, I need a little help. Don't let the worry stop you. Now, I've used that W. It's not a strong word, but look in verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. And look in verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. And verse 9 especially of chapter 1. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And I got news for y'all. If you're ever going to go with the Lord in your Christian life, and if a church is ever going to go with God on their journey, you ain't going to be able to get caught up in fearfulness and fretting.
Right. Right.
That's what kept a whole generation in the wilderness for 40 years. 10 spies. Was it 10 spies that were looking at how large the giants were, but two spies were looking at how large the grapes were. And oh, dear neighbor, you better go with God. And can I say something to every individual Christian? You need to learn to rebuke the spirit of fear.
Amen.
Every one of us have to learn. There's no brave ones amongst us. There's just those amongst us that choose to believe God even though we're scared to death.
Right.
You follow and obey God. Don't let the worry. Number three, don't let the wilderness crowd stop you. Look in chapter 1 and verse 16. They answered Joshua saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. And his brothers told him, his spiritual brothers told him what the Lord told him. Only be strong and of a good courage.
Yeah.
Can I tell y'all, don't let the wilderness crowd stop you. You know what's going on here? You know what's going on here? These young men gathered around Joshua, and they said, we have vivid memories of 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, where the only thing God did was kill people. Old preacher friend of mine said, Caleb, you remember Caleb and Joshua? They believed God. Said Caleb went to every funeral and shouted. Said he'd sit on the back row and shout and tell the rest of them, can't wait till y'all are gone too. Because he had a promise. Now, I would never talk like that. I'm a very sweet kind of preacher. But that old preacher man preached and said, Caleb, he said, Caleb got up every morning, read the obituaries and shouted when more of them died. He was a North Carolina preacher, originally from West Virginia, so that explains everything. Because he had a promise.
Yes, sir.
When the last rebel's gone,
yeah,
I get to cross over.
Yeah.
And this generation, Brother Lancaster, this generation of boys said, come here, preacher. We want you to know something. We ain't doing that again.
Yeah.
We ain't doing 40 years again. Anybody's a problem, we're going to kill him.
Yeah.
Boy, that's the kind of church business meeting you like. I've heard of a secret meeting. Oh, heavens, every pastor, oh, heavens, there's a secret meeting. But when they walked out of that door, said, hey, come here, preacher. We're killing anybody that comes against you. Okay, that was a good meeting y'all had. I could take you to a church in Alabama. And they done that to an old boy. And I was on the phone with that pastor today. This is a 15-year-old story. Had an old boy come in there and he threw his money around. He threw some of it at me. I'm glad I got some before he backslid. He brought me a $1,200 check one night, and I said, boy, that's a great man, until I found out he wasn't, but I never did return the check. And he was front row, looked like a great man, and boy, he was in there, and then all of a sudden, he got him a woman, and he got him some money, and this is horrible. He now owns a tiki bar, which is serving drinks on a tropical. He's down there somewhere, and he's got long hair and wears beach shorts and is a surfer and got his own bar. I may reach out to him, see if he got any more checks. I don't know. But no, he started coming again. That's where he is now. Left his wife, his children. And he was a front row Alabama church member. One of the best for a little while. Just for a little while. And you know, he threatened the pastor. Had demons on him. He whispered, and in one of the best services, he grabbed that pastor, and the pastor said, I could tell he wasn't hugging me. Grabbed him and threatened him in his ear. And Boy, the pastor told the men. And next Sunday, he rolled up, that fella rolled up in the parking lot, and 12 of the men. And they were fully saved, but not quite fully sanctified. They met him in the parking lot and took him out behind the church. And they held him in place. That's what the report was. I don't know what that meant. I think it means something different in Alabama than what it means here. They said they held him in place and spoke to him. I don't think we want to know the interpretation. And they said, don't you ever come back on this property again. You get out of here. And said, we ain't going to call the law. You'll wish we'd called the law. They said, this is God's law.
Right.
On this property.
Right.
And he didn't come back. And he didn't bother him no more. What about that? Now, that's the kind of secret meetings we need. By the way, they didn't tell the pastor. They all came inside. He said, what, y'all are a little late for service. They said, yeah, we had a meeting. Out back just now. He said, is everything all right? He said, everything's all right. They said, everything's all right now. You go on preach. Amen. I'm going to tell y'all something. No, we don't handle things with fists and guns.
Right.
We don't. That ain't the weapons of our warfare.
Right.
But we need some men to gather around their preacher.
Amen.
We need some men to gather around our children.
Right.
Like mama buffaloes. We need the mothers and grandmothers. And boy, they'd, you know, when they'd gather around and protect them young ones in the middle. Oh, don't let the wilderness crowd stop you.
Amen. Right.
I don't know how many churches are dying. 100 people cannot have God because the pastor's worried about 2 people who ain't never happy. And what you need to do is never cater to those 2, but run them 2 off. Rebuke them to their face publicly, openly, before all. Tell them they're lost. Let them figure out whether they are or not.
Right.
He said, well, do you know they're lost? Well, they're acting like they're lost. Well, do them a favor and let them consider the matter before they possibly die and go to hell.
Right. Right.
That's what I did when I pastored. I said, you're all lost. This whole bunch never been saved. I didn't know that, but they didn't either.
That's right.
Might as well let them think about it.
Right.
And I'll tell you all a funny story. Oh, I'll tell you a funny story. It almost, I'd have to tell too much. My dad took a church up in Baltimore, and it's the last church he had. And I came in there, and God had me, Dad brought me in, and I was a preaching. And I said, 75% this congregation probably lost. I was just a preaching. I smelled it all over the place. God had put Dad there, and Dad was a powerful man of God. Well, my dad, he didn't like that. And Dad's very honest and very upfront and no games. Dad got up in the pulpit, and he kind of expressed, after I preached, he said, I don't know about that, what Dean said. And, you know, he didn't like it. He talked about it for a minute. It didn't bother me. It didn't bother him, but for a minute. And he told the church, I don't know about that. And within 2 years, the head man, they all come against him. Turned out they was all getting major kickbacks. They'd stole $1 million from the church. And this next part's so ugly, I've got to be careful. And the head man that was associate and on staff, they found him in the public park where the homosexuals hang out. I could tell you several things right there, how that went over the next few years. And my dad stood up 4 years later before the whole church and said, well, and he brought it up. He said, Dean, my boy was here. And he thought about 75% of this original bunch was lost. He said, well, I thought he was wrong then, and I still think he's wrong now. He said, it wasn't 75%, it was about 90. He said, y'all got in on a little easy believism prayer. That's why you could play church and be wicked.
Yeah. Amen.
He said Dean's numbers were off. He said it was more like 90% and only a tithe, only a tenth was saved. Biggest mistake preachers ever make is trying to be courteous to Americans instead of being real preachers and blasting the hide off of everything in the building until we can see who's lost and who's saved.
Right.
I'm not talking about ugly preaching. I'm not. Jesus never had a nasty spirit.
Amen.
Paul never had a nasty spirit. I'm not talking about harsh preaching. I'm not talking about a smart aleck and a jerk.
Right.
Now they'll call you all those things, but hard preaching.
Amen.
There better be a spirit in the place of we're going to stone anybody who stops our children from going in the promised land. Them boys were the children that couldn't go in the promised land 40 years ago, and they were not going to have none of it. Well, our 3-minute deal is not working out. Oh dear time. I heard the greatest statement last week down in Mississippi. Brother Austin was down there too. This little old fella, former Southern Baptist, God saved him out of it, a holy man. I'm telling you, a precious preacher. Brother Roy Crouch, and he made this statement. He had learned it and picked it up years ago. Hard preaching makes tender hearts. He said, nobody wants to hard preaching in their church. He said, I'm sorry, but in my experience, where the man of God takes and preaches the word in power and truth, said, I found the most tender hearts.
That's amen.
And he said, if you don't believe me, go to where they're doing all the soft preaching.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's the hardest hearts.
Amen.
Go down there to your mega church.
Oh.
Or somebody with an Osteen hair and Osteen teeth. I didn't mean to call the fella from Houston. I don't like calling names. I do it. Every time I do it, I don't like it. But I ain't against it. I just don't enjoy it. I don't like to distract.
Sure.
But this generation of all these mega churches and soft churches. And the softest preaching, you're going to encounter the hardest, wickedest hearts. Because there's something about that. What do they call that little meat cleaver? What do they call that little hammer where you tenderize your meat? A meat tenderizer. That's what it's called. Boy, we're the men of God. Not being idiots, but being God's man, letting the hammer land, it makes the most tender hearts.
Amen.
Woo, glory.
Amen.
Don't let a wilderness crowd stop you.
Right.
When your preacher has to deal with them, 20 of you come over and apologize to your preacher. Say, preacher, we're sorry you had to deal with this. We'll deal with it. Hallelujah. Don't let the wilderness crowd stop you. Well, let me get it back up here to my Charles Stanley little chair. I'm going to like this so much, y'all going to see me on a Sunday morning program somewhere when you're flipping through and I'll be like... Chapter 2, verse 1. I don't even know if I should bring this. This here's a message all by itself. Don't let chapter 2, verse 1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly. Go over to the land of Jericho. They went to Rahab's house. You heard about that sinner that got saved. How many of y'all heard about that sinner Rahab that got saved?
Amen.
Hung a scarlet thread out her window. Thank God for the blood.
Right.
She made it in Hebrews 11, the last character in Hebrews 11.
Right.
I nearly knocked my own glasses off.
I'm not used to preaching with a bar stool.
We got to call it something else, don't we, Pastor? A high chair. Brother Dean gone contemporary, preaching off a bar stool. Just call me Dean Stanley. Rahab! Now, don't let the witness phase stop you. One of you Lancaster boys, one of you other, there's some young men in here that love the Bible. You boys think of a better W for me, and I'll preach it the next time. Here's what I mean. Underline that word secretly. And let me run a little thought by you. You got a picture of the gospel. I'm going to do this in 20 seconds. Y'all ready? As Billy Kelly used to say, come here! So y'all come here. Okay, 20 seconds. The gospel. Two men were sent to knock on the door.
Yeah.
Is anybody with me?
Yes, sir.
You remember the New Testament? Sent them out two by two. And two men. And do you remember when the gospel came to your house? The gospel witness. Two men were sent to knock on the door. And here's what they said. It's just us today. And this is hidden business. But in a little while, our king's coming with his whole army.
Yeah.
Amen. And you better get on the right side.
Yeah.
Before they get here.
Amen. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that lovely? And that's what we do. We're supposed to go out two by two and witness to this world and tell them it's just us right now.
Yeah.
People can't even see us. This is spiritually hidden things. We're trying to tell everybody, but it's hidden things.
Right.
Yeah. But in a little while, our king's coming with a whole army. Yeah. And we're going to own all this millennial reign.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Okay, are y'all with me?
Yeah. Amen.
So this is a pretty rough phase when it's just two of you. And guess what? You remember? Here come the soldiers, come to kill them. And remember, Rahab got them on the rooftop and put them under flax.
That's right.
Put them under them coverings. And then she even sat on the lid. And she lied for the glory of God. They said, where are those men? She said, they went that way right over there. They went that way. How in the world did that woman lie and make it in Hebrews 11? It's the greatest thing she ever did. You say, I can't believe she'd lie. God's going to. I was going to see if it could get any more quiet than it just got. 2 Thessalonians 2. He's going to cause this whole generation to believe a lie.
Right.
Because they wouldn't believe the truth.
Yeah, that's right.
If you're coming to kill the gospel, God may not ever let you see it again.
Right. That's right.
They were coming to kill the truth. So he didn't let them have the truth. It's the same God who put a lying spirit in the prophet's mouth.
Yeah, you're right. That's right.
I need a little help.
Amen.
God's judgment for rejecting the truth is oftentimes he will then cause you to believe a lie.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. If I got my family in my house and a child molester, a monster, breaks in at 2 a.m. and gets me in the corner with a gun on me and says, tell me where your little girls are at. Does that man deserve the truth?
No.
That man deserves to be deceived. I need a little help.
Amen.
And so this is what happened. And but anyhow, could you imagine being under that flax, having to be hid? Well, them two soldiers, them two spies, they're mighty brave. Why didn't they come out of there and do some street preaching? Yeah. Well, I ain't going in the ministry partnership with you, you nut. I'd rather God run this show and every once in a while stick me under some flax.
Yeah.
It ain't time for me to die. He'll hide me.
Amen.
What about the great apostle? Paul, apostle. was homeschooled for 2 years. What about that great apostle? I took AC, not Becca. We struggled a little bit. What about the great apostle Paul? You remember that night? They smuggled him at midnight, yep, out a window over the wall. It ain't always time for the walls to come tumbling down.
Sure.
What if you went in a little door of the wall just to get a sinner's family saved, and then you have to hide under the flax?
Yeah.
We all love to shout about Jericho walls come tumbling down. Well, what about when they don't?
Right.
And you come slipping down the wall.
That's right.
At midnight. Real Christianity is very humbling and humiliating. This swagger and macho spirit in some of our guys is not of the Lord.
Right.
Amen.
And I don't believe in no little effeminate, soft, soapy hand preachers.
Right. Right.
But this swagger and macho call you out and whoop you. That ain't the Lord.
Amen.
You're just showing you're as full of your flesh as any liberal you know.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Real Christianity is humiliating and humbling. And you may be in the chapter where God's men hide under flax and a woman protects them. You're not in the chapter where the walls come tumbling down and we charge over the walls. But know this, if you'll just stay under the flax and let God hide you, there's another chapter coming. We will make it back to those walls. Oh, look at me wanting to preach an hour at that one point. Whoever come up with a 3-minute deal, y'all, that was really ignorant. Whoever came up with that, y'all did not know what you were doing. Chapter 3, verse 13, don't let the water stop you. They came to the Jordan. And can I just say, that's the death, the burial, the resurrection, where John baptized Jesus, where Elisha went down in there with Elijah. Elijah's caught up to heaven. That mantle come back down, a picture of Calvary going into the death waters, a picture of Pentecost, the mantle floating back down. Don't let the death waters of Calvary stop you. If you're ever going to get saved, you got to enter into His death. Amen. If you're ever going to get filled with the Spirit later on, you're going to have to enter into the cross. Amen. You're going to have to let God kill you either way. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Don't let the cross, the crucified life, don't let it stop you. In chapter 4, verse 19. Don't let the wait stop you. The waiting period. Chapter 4, verse 19. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal. You can see where this camp, this camping trip, this camping out. I got a glorious message God gave me years ago out of chapter 5 on the first camp meeting. They camped out where the Lord called for an encampment. They had just come up on the right side of Jordan, and God said, now, before we go to war, let's have a camp meeting. And for several days, they camped out with God. Can I say to you, don't let that waiting period discourage you. Jesus lived on the earth 30 years, and all He did was obey His mother and work in a wood shop. Just in case you got to hurry up and hail's bells and tear it up and get out there and win the world, you do your part to win the world when the time comes. Until then, you might want to spend 30 years in a wood shop. By the way, that's on my millennial reign bucket list. I want to go find all the people. Was that Nazareth? I need to read my Bible. I read my Bible in 86. I need to read it again. Was that Nazareth where he grew? I don't know where he grew. He was born in Bethlehem. I got that part down. I have Roman Catholic Christmas every December. Raised in Nazareth. Thank you. for reading your Bible more than once. Bucket list, millennial reign. I want to find people who had woodwork that Jesus made.
I want to find folk that grew up with him.
In all them years he didn't tell us about, God didn't tell us. Y'all want to come with me? You're going to get around to that about maybe year 400. I got some other things, a little priority. Around year 400, and at that, y'all want to go? We'll all get together. And let's stroll over to that. Where's the Nazareth people? They're over there. Let's go talk to them.
Y'all knew Jesus as a child?
Yeah, we did. Did he ever throw a temper tantrum? No, he didn't. When did y'all notice he was different? I mean, I want to talk to these people from Nazareth. Did anybody have any wood furniture or wood pieces that he made for you? I want to know what he made. I want to know, did it ever wear out? Did it ever break? There might be a rocking chair on the front porch in the millennial reign, and an old lady from Nazareth said he made this and it's just incorruptible. It made it to the other side. I'm stretching that a little, having fun, but who does know? Don't y'all want to go visit the Nazareth village in the millennial reign? I do. Did a girl ever have a crush on him when he was 14? How did he handle the neighborhood bully when he was 11? I want to hear. Do y'all know that John sat with Jesus' mother?
Yes.
He took her in.
Well, I guess he does.
Now, I have a preacher friend, two of them, Brother Bell and Brother Charles Lawson. And both have been to Ephesus, to the ruins. It's Turkey now. And they've both been to the church at Ephesus. And they both told me that Mary's grave and old John's grave is at the outside of that church. The ruins are still there. Do y'all reckon that old preacher, John, kept Jesus' mama till she passed?
Yes, sir.
You reckon we got a little clue at the very last word he put in John's gospel? And there are many other things also.
That's right.
Which Jesus did.
Yeah.
The which, if it were written, the world itself could not contain the volumes
right.
Should be written. Yeah, I'm finding Nazareth village.
Yes, sir. Amen.
In the millennial reign. I'm finding Mary. I'm sitting on that front porch. Hey, Jesus, mama. Somebody has made a mess. Y'all really need to clean up your mess on your front row. My feet hurt. I can't bend over. I don't know who made that mess. I grew up in a large family. We blame other people, okay? Second nature. Oh, y'all, I want to ask her about him. How did we get right there? What was we talking about, y'all? What W was I on? Yeah, there's coming a day. We won't be under flax. We won't be smuggled out of the wall. We won't have to be protected by a weak, wicked woman that just got saved. There's coming a day we're marching in.
Yes, sir.
Don't let the humiliation. Hey, it didn't stop Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
Philippians 2. He made himself of no reputation.
Amen.
Took upon him the form of a man. Oh, he humbled himself.
was subject to his mother. He sat under a weak woman. I know she was weak because she lost her religion. He was only 12. I'm never going to hit these other W's. Unless I do. It only took her 12 years to backslide. Do you know she was the first theological liberal? And she gave a seed to the first Roman Catholicism. Just in case you wanted to worship Mary. She was as messed up as me and you.
Right.
And then you can read it all in Luke. Maybe it's 2, where they lost, they left him at the temple. I got a message I'll preach on how in this world do you go off and forget Jesus when he's your son.
Right.
And the question for us is when you're his son. So when she got to him, she misspoke 2 things. She said, "Thy father and I." Do you know really? Little theological liberalism crept in. She was the first one to get over the virgin birth. That's one of the greatest fundamentals of our doctrine. And then she's the first one to go a little Roman Catholic, the son of Mary. All of Catholicism built on the worship of the mother. Our father's on earth and our mother's in heaven. That backward. And the Roman Catholic father wears a dress and is not married to a woman. That's weird. You ain't nobody's father. You ain't even married. And you wear a dress. Call me old fashioned, but men don't wear dresses. Men don't wear dresses. Women don't wear. Leave me alone. I'm raised old school. I ain't changing either. But anyhow, that Mary. Okay, she said, "Thy father and I." And then when she addressed him, she before she said it, she said, "Son, thy father and I." Whoa, 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 whoa. Son of who?
Yeah.
Now there's an angel met up with you and told you that he's the Son of God.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
And Simeon told you he's the Son of David.
Right.
And he is your son. He's the son of Mary. But he was the Son of God.
Right, that's right.
Before he was the son of David.
Right, right. Right.
The son of Abraham. Let's don't forget what actually his sonship is. She just said, "Son, my son." And before we're so rough on Mary, let's don't forget, you and I forget a miraculous birth.
Sure.
I've lived a lot of days as if Jesus was not born in me.
Right. Right.
Yes, I've had a miracle birth. Christ has been birthed in me.
Yes, sir.
Not physically, but spiritually.
Right.
It's Christ in me, and I've not lived every day like that. I forget it too.
Sure.
Just like Mary. And there's days I've claimed things as my own.
Yeah.
Son! And there's days that I've acted like I was the biggest thing in my life. She's just an old sinner like a... I have a theory, and please don't tell anybody. As y'all's worldwide camera rolls.
Preach on.
But I have a little theory. I'm not sure, I'm not 100% sure about it because of how she praised God at the beginning. But I often wonder if Mary got saved at the cross. None of her kids believed on Jesus until after the resurrection.
That's right. Wow.
And when his hometown came together, the mayor said, "Your mother and your sisters and your brothers are with us."
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Jesus said, "A prophet has no honor in his own country."
Right.
And he headed out. And the mother should have stepped up and said, "Excuse me, that's God's son, and we're actually with him." But she didn't. Why didn't his brothers believe on him? It's in John. "And his brethren believed not on him till after the resurrection." I've often wondered. I have a little gray area because of how she praised the Lord at the announcement of his birth. She praised the Lord there. But a lot of church kids have said the right thing and got saved later. So I don't know. Don't get all tore up about it. I just wonder at Calvary.
Right. Y'all know where me and you get saved?
At the cross.
That's right.
Woo! And then when he got resurrected, she done told all her children, "He was really the Son of God."
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I think I've been up here about 1 hour. Let me mention these others. There's four more. Chapter 6, verse 20, "Don't let the walls stop you, the wall of Jericho." There are going to be some big obstacles. Just believe God and keep going. Chapter 7, verse 21. "Don't let the wedge of gold and silver stop you." Didn't the old boy steal some Babylonian gold and Babylonian goods and Babylonian garments?
Yep.
Hide them under his tent?
Yeah,
hey, y'all, don't let sin in the camp stop none of this. And then chapter 9, verse 4. Here come the Gibeonites, and they did work wildly. They said, "My goodness, this great godly nation is going to kill us, so let's go trick them."
Yeah.
"Let's don't beat them, let's join them." They did, chapter 9, verse 4, they did work wildly. They deceived them and they hitched up with them and then God's people made a covenant with them. They wouldn't hurt them and then found out they were supposed to kill them.
Yeah.
They done made the wrong kind of marriage, wrong kind of affinity. Y'all don't let the wiles of the devil.
Right.
Brother, when y'all get on the march and the devil sees he can't stop, he's going to try to join you. The wiles of the devil. And then lastly, chapter 10, verse 5. They had to go to war with all the kings of the land and all the heathen of the land. Don't let the warfare stop you. Going to be a warfare. Don't let the warfare stop you. Well, let's go over the 10 and so you can get your notes just right. Chapter 1, verse 1, don't let the weeping stop you. Chapter 1, verse 9, don't let worry stop you. Chapter 1, verse 18, don't let the wilderness stop you, the wilderness crowd. Chapter 2, verse 1, don't let the witness phase, the weakness phase stop you. Chapter 3, verse 13, don't let the death waters of Calvary stop you. Chapter 4, verse 19, don't let the weight when God slows things down. Chapter 6, verse 20, don't let the wall of Jericho stop you. Chapter 7, verse 21, don't let the wedge of gold stop you. Chapter 9, verse 4, don't let the wiles of the devil stop you. And chapter 10, verse 5, don't let the warfare stop you. Our heads are bowed. Would y'all stand? Brother Lancaster, y'all come around and do it however you want to do it. At least strum and make music. Everyone stand. And could I ask us to have prayer on the altar? As many of you as would you? And as many of you would, let's gather around tonight and There's some great days ahead for this, for what God's doing in y'all's midst. And if you're able to, some of you can come and sit on the front. It's not easy to move around. Oh God, would you, Lord, save anybody that's lost tonight? Show them Christ and show them the cross. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Work in our hearts and lives these days. Oh God, family, come ahead.